continued interest in your prayers. I want to notice a verse of scripture you find in Psalm 119. 119. And the verse that I want to deal with tonight is verse 89. 119, verse 89. Scripture says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I tell you, that's comforting to me tonight. With all the things going on in the world today, it's just such a comfort to me that I can pick up this book and I know that it's all the truth.
That's right.
That I can read it from cover to cover, and whether I understand it or not doesn't matter. It is the truth. It'll always be the truth, always has been the truth, and men can rewrite what they call a Bible as many times as they want to, but they will not change the truth of God.
Amen.
I remember years ago, a preacher got up at an association one time and he held up a little booklet and he said, here is the, whatever year it was, revisions to some Bible that was some, you know, some version of the Bible. Said, you know, here's that year's revisions to the Bible. And it was one of the major denominations that put out their revisions each year. I'm thankful that we don't have to have revisions to the Word of God. I used to work with computer software, and I was an auditor and an installer and support, and we're always changing things. And it was a weariness to my brain to try to keep up with all the changes that were being made. And then when W-2 tax season rolled around, something you only did one time a year, and it always, the government was always changing that. So we just are faced with lots of changes in the world, aren't we? But what a comfort it is to know that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Praise God.
Now it says in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not settled here, but, you know, Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Men don't always do God's will, but God's word is always the same.
Amen.
All right? Now, I want to deal with this word settled for just a moment. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word itself is defined as to establish or to establish boundaries, to set up, to well, like I said, establish and to establish boundaries, to set it up. All right, so my point in this is it's not open-ended. To establish boundaries, it's defined, it's not going to change. You know, even in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, when the tabernacle was to be made, you remember over and over, there was that exhortation, see that thou makest it according to the pattern. God had defined what it was to be like. Then you go to the end of the Bible, almost the last verse of scripture. And we're exhorted there. Well, let me read it because I may not quote it exactly right. Revelation 22, verse 18. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things." See, the word's settled. The boundaries are established. So he says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So much of what's recognized in our world today as Christianity has an open-ended approach. As if God has done all he can do, and now, sinner, it's up to you. You know, we hear that a lot, don't we? Or if you're focusing on the sinner, then, you know, it's available, you know, and it's put forth that God died, you know, God loves everybody, and Jesus died for everybody, but it's up to you to accept it. That's open-ended. And that leaves it in the hands of men, in their mind, as to whether or not it's going to be accomplished for that person. That is not what the Word of God teaches. The boundaries are set. You know, even when you're talking about predestination, pro horizo, the word, and it marks out the destination. You know, it marks out the boundaries, marks out the horizon. I'm trying to get to. Okay, so what we find in the Word of God is forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God has ordained. God is performing. And God will bring it to pass. Okay, so when we think about this, the word itself, when you look at the part of speech that this word is, it means to a continued simple action. Okay? It's not going to change. It's going to be this same. It's the same. All right? So forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Continuously. It also carries with it the meaning of to stand in position of authority. You know, I'm thankful that this word is the rule of our faith and practice. Amen. And it's not going to change. It's already established for us. All right? The usage of that word in the original language, I found a reference to like Moses when they came up to the Red Sea. And God told Moses to stand, and he told him what to tell the people. All right? God gave him that authority to speak God's words to them. Moses didn't have the option to change it. He was simply to deliver God's message, because God's message was already established. God had a purpose for what they would go through. God had a purpose of what was about to happen, and he was simply to tell them to, you know, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God knew what he was going to do. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, I like Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, you know, remember the former things of old, for I'm God and there's none else. I'm God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So his word is settled forever. What he has ordained as truth will stand forever. Hey, I'm thankful for that tonight, aren't you? I am. And what he has promised will be sure forever. He's promised us eternal life. And that's forever. And God is faithful to his promise. So the more we understand about how God's word is settled, now, obviously, We're not talking about the predestination of the acts of men. We're not talking about that God has predetermined what everybody's going to do. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about what God has decreed. We're talking about the truth that God has given us in His Word. You know, it was in Jeremiah chapter 9. He talked about the children of Israel and how they were sacrificing their children to Molech. And he said, it neither entered my mind for them to do that. And then in another place it says it didn't enter his, in another place in Jeremiah, it didn't enter into his heart for them to. Now he didn't, that doesn't mean he didn't know they were going to do it. But he didn't purpose them to do it. And those are some of my favorite go-to texts to show that the predestination of all the acts of men is not biblical. All right? So what God has ordained is going to happen. I remember Elder Laman Ferris, he used to say that sometimes he'd encounter somebody and begin to talk Bible, and they'd say, oh, you're one of those what is to be will be. And he said, well, that's right. What is to be will be. But not everything that happens is to be. And so that's the way it is. What God has purposed, bless your hearts, it will come to pass. By His power, His wisdom, His foreknowledge, all those things working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All right? So forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. All right? And now, the more we understand that, of what God has purposed, is going to come to pass. And the more we understand how thorough His word is, then the more we can appreciate how when Paul was telling Timothy, you know, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, not by inspiration of men, but by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's spiritually good for us. It's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I'm sorry, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. The Word of God is a thorough furnisher. This word that is settled, this word that the boundaries are defined, it's a thorough furnisher unto how many good works? Most of them? All of them. All of them. So if you had a perfect understanding of all the truth of God's word, hear me carefully, you'd be as good as Jesus Christ, because He's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And everything He did, everything He said, every time He reacted to something was exactly the way God the Father would. But we're not going to get there this side of glory, are we? All right? But His Word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. That's why we need to be reading it. Even the part that we understand and we know, if you don't read it very often, you'll forget. And the older I get, the more I realize, the quicker that can happen. So we keep reading. We keep studying. We keep asking the Lord for understanding. What a blessing it is that when we're in the Word of God, it stays with us better. But we're like a leaky vessel, aren't we? It could leak out of us if we start neglecting it. So forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Tonight, I want to deal with the nature of this word that's settled in heaven. The boundaries are marked out. It's defined for us. It's given to us in this word. So obviously, or to me, the logical place to start in that was the fact that it is inspired. I've already quoted to you from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It's inspired, which means it's God-breathed. All right? And I want to notice some of those scriptures that speak about that. All right? 2 Timothy 3:16. Remember we said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Sometimes we don't emphasize that when we're talking about that, but it's of the Lord. It came from him. No matter how, you know what it's about, 40 different penmen in the Bible, and some of the 66 books of the Bible, and some 40 different penmen, but one author. Just one. It's by inspiration of God. Now, men have been inspired from time to time to write some good things. But this book is like none other. I've enjoyed reading some books. I enjoy reading the writings of primitive Baptist preachers. I don't always agree with everything they say, but when I come to this book, when I'm reading this book, it doesn't matter what, well, it does matter what I think, but I know that this is the truth because it is inspired of God. And God is holy and good and just and altogether righteous. So, what a blessing that he has given us his word. And beyond that, what a blessing that he's given us his word in our language. You know, Greek is still Greek to me. I mean, it's just, it's a tough language because, you know, it's not our native language. So I'm thankful for men that have helped us to understand something about the meaning of the Greek words and the nuances of the, because it's a very specific language. But, you know, scripture defines scripture. I'm so thankful we can read this word and God has given it to us in our own language. So it's nice that we've got some reference books, but what a blessing that it's in the language that we understand. It's inspired of God. And it is profitable. I've read some books that I just decided it was a total waste of money. I could give you a title. I guess, you know, I probably ought not to trash it because somebody else might get a whole lot of good out of it. But there was one that, boy, the title just captured my attention. I thought, this has got to be good. The title was good. But it wasn't any good to me. Okay? And if you want the book, I'll be happy to share it with you. But this is different. This is just all truth. Some of it is from a historical perspective. Some of it is prophecy. Some of it, you know, so much of all the doctrine is embraced. But all of it, yes, even those genealogies at times, when we get tired of reading some of those things, those sections of the Word of God, I have to remind myself, if this is the Word of God, he could have chosen to tell us a whole lot of other things, but he chose to give us what he did. You know, didn't John say if all the things that Jesus said and did were contained in the book or were written or were recorded, he said, I suppose that the world itself couldn't contain the books. So why should we think that there's anything in the book that he did give us, in these 66 books, why should we think that any of that is not profitable? He had a reason, and there's a lot of repetition in there. Well, guess what? I need that repetition because I read something, and then somewhere else I'll read along, and I say, oh, I remember that principle or that detail. It was given somewhere else. And it helps me to understand that God's giving us a clue as to what's more profitable, you know, most profitable for us to remember. So when we think about it, it's profitable for us. It's profitable, and I'm not going to go into all the things that he talked about, but for doctrine, you know, I think somebody I think maybe Warren Wiersbe one time, he kind of put it in a few words. He says, for doctrine, to show us what's right, for reproof, show us what's not, you know, maybe, may not get this exactly, I haven't read it lately, but for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, okay, and instruction in righteousness. So what's right, what's not right, what needs to be fixed, you know, and how to do right. Maybe I'll just put it that way. I probably didn't get that last one right. But anyway, it's profitable for all these things. And you can look at that list and you can see how it tells us, gives us the doctrine. It teaches us, you know, shows us where we go astray. Tells us how to fix the problems that we might have, which we do have. And then how to live like we should. Instruction in righteousness. For this purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, spiritually mature, may be perfect, truly furnished. Are we truly furnished in our understanding of God's word? Well, I'm not. I still have a lot of things to work on. Maybe you do too. Okay? Truly furnished unto all good works. That tells me we can apply ourselves to this word for the rest of our lives, and there will be plenty there for us to learn and to grow and to bear fruit to the glory of God. And I'm so thankful for those men that with the powerful gifts like we've had, like, well, all gifts, but, you know, Elder Sonny Pyle, he just really had a way of preaching the word in such a way that it caused other preachers to dig more into the word. And God gave us a special gift there. But there's quite a diversity of gifts, and I'm thankful that there are those that are called to preach this word and teach God's people. So it's profitable, all right? So it's inspired. And because it's inspired, there's plenty there for us to profit spiritually by it. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's see. 2 Peter chapter 1. Some of these scriptures Brother Kenneth read this past Sunday, I think. Hopefully I'm coming at it from a little different application. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1, 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Oh, there's something else I can thank the Lord for. This is not just the opinions of men. Okay? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All right? So it's inspiration of God. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, to some extent, the different writers, you know, there was something about their personality that came through, but the message was from God. Holy men of God spake, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Then come back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Peter 1, verse 11. Peter says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So these holy men of old that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, this also says it was the Spirit of Christ that was in them. So this inspiration bless your hearts, it's inspiration of God. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and it was the Spirit of Christ in them as they spake. Inspiration. All right? Next, I want to notice that it's inerrant. No errors in the Word of God. Now, I mean, that just follows on, that if God inspired it, and God's perfect, He is, and He cannot change, then there's no errors in the Word of God. Now, I know publishers, when they publish a book like this, I've seen where the wrong word was used or something like that. I'm not talking about the publisher's impact. I'm talking about the Word of God that was blessed to be brought into our language is without error. Okay. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the first furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That's comforting to me. I mean, this whole message is comforting to me because, bless your hearts, we don't have to worry about there coming a time when we don't have access to the Word of God. Now, I'm thankful that there are people that have dedicated themselves and are continuing to dedicate themselves to make sure that we've got a good copy of King James that's being made. You know, I've forgotten the name of the organization, and it's probably more than one, but there is an organization that, you know, their whole work is to make sure that we still have a good King James translation. Like I said, the publishers from time to time have made a little difference, but I'm thankful that we have the Word, and I'm thankful it's inerrant. I mean, why would God, when He spoke His truth, allow it not to be the complete truth? So, all of this that we have to say about this tonight is to remind us and to help us to continue to have that conviction and that encouragement that this is the truth. It's reliable. We can count on it being the truth, and it'll always be here for us. He said, thou shalt keep, he's talking about the word of being pure, thou shalt keep them. He didn't say it, but he said them. Thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And the more I study about how the King James translation came about and things in history and the timing and all the things involved there, it just seems like the hand of providence was right there, blessing that work to come into our language. So what a blessing that we have the Word of God. Those words are pure. John 17:17, when Jesus was praying just before He went to the cross, He's praying unto the Father, and He says, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we have the statement of our Lord that His word is truth. What a blessing. And then Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie is the truth. He cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. That was his, he ordained that, he defined that truth before he ever made man. So we find it's inspired and it's inerrant. Now, I've already quoted part of what the next thought I wanted to bring, and that is that it's being preserved. It's preserved. Thou wilt keep them. Psalm 12, verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so as we think about it being preserved, how long? How long? Just as long as the world stands? You know, in, let's see, Matthew 24, what is it, verse 35? Yeah. And Mark 13, 31. And Luke 21, 33. We have this verse of scripture. Heaven and earth, let me get one of them. I may make sure I get it, since they're all the same. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. Now, usually when you go from one book to the next, like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the wording may be a little different, but the thought is the same. But here's a verse, except for one mark of punctuation. Matthew puts a comma where Mark and Luke puts a colon. Okay? I don't know why the difference, but the point is, the wording is the same. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But. So when he says but, that means this is going to last beyond the heaven and earth that passes away. Aren't you thankful for that? It's not just for this life. It is the truth eternally. And when time shall be no more, it's still the truth. Oh, as we rejoice to know the truth of God's word. Look at Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, listen to what Isaiah, here again, here's inspiration. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, right? And it's the Spirit of Christ in them. So it says, Isaiah 51, verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Well, preacher, that didn't say his words. Well, what do you think his words teach? His words teaches us of his salvation and his righteousness. And it says, this shall not be abolished. I find great comfort in those truths tonight. All right? It's everlasting. When we think about the Word of God, I'm so thankful that we're not bound by the ideas of men from one generation to the next. You know, we can read the Bible and we can see the progression away from God. I mean, you don't have to go very far in the book of Genesis. If you're doing your daily reading for, and if you started in Genesis 1:1 in January, and if you'd done your daily reading from there, not that you have to start there in January, but I'm just saying, if you did, It doesn't take you very long to see that the imagination of the minds of men were only evil continually. That's why God sent the flood upon the earth, wasn't it? Wow. But bless your hearts, I'm thankful that he has given us this word. It's inspired. It's inerrant. It's preserved. And it'll be preserved everlastingly. You know, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So when Paul told Timothy, all scripture, God had a purpose for all of this. You know, there's some genealogies that we find in Scripture, and it's just like it's, you read the story of the book, and then right there at the end, there's a short genealogy. And I've wondered, what's that there for? But it has a purpose. God has a purpose for all of his word. And so, may God help us as we continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that one thing for sure, that we grow in our appreciation for this inspired word. The respect that we have for the Word of God, that we might grow in our understanding of it, that we might grow in our application of it, that we might grow in our ability to stand upon its principles. And so, the idea of walking with God, let's see, was it Amos that said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you walk with God if you're not walking according to his word? Now, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Believing didn't make him righteous, but it manifested the fact that he is righteous, or was righteous. So, we think about walking with God, even Abraham, God told him, walk before me and be thou perfect. In other words, walk in those ways that are pleasing. Walk in those ways which are consistent with godliness, holiness. I know we didn't have a lot of, you know, this, he didn't have the written scriptures like we have, but he walked with God, didn't he? God taught him. God showed, he communed with God. And bless your hearts, we have that same opportunity. If we indeed are born of the Spirit of God, we have his Spirit within us. And when we take this precious word, that we can open it up and we can pray, Lord, help me understand more of your word. Bless me with your Spirit. You know, David prayed, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things in thy law. All right. We need to ask the Lord for help. You know, now we've been at this a long time, and that's just, we understand that. But bless your hearts, the more we understand about it, the more appreciation we'll have for the fact that this word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. There's not a good work you can think of that's not addressed in this word. May we reverence this word. May we appreciate this word. May we treasured up. David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart. That what? That I might not sin against thee. I need to treasure this word up so that I could remember all the ways of God, so that I can walk in the way that would be pleasing in his sight. We've got this old flesh that we carry with us all the time. There's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit, and we need the help of the Lord every day. I'm telling you, he's given us a wonderful help that's right there with us each day. May God help us to appreciate the fact that it's inspired, it's inerrant. It's preserved. It's never going to be taken from us. You know, now I don't know how, a few years ago, it was getting pretty scary, wasn't it? As far as the King James is concerned. I remember picking up, going to a bookstore. Well, as a matter of fact, I guess it was in the 90s. A sister asked us to pick out a good Bible for her, buy it for her. So we did, and we took it to her, and it had 2/8 chapters of Romans. Well, if you're going to have an extra copy of anything in the Bible, an 8th chapter of Romans would be great. But that's not what you expect in a good copy of the Word of God. And I think we replaced it and there was something else wrong. I mean, that's publisher. That's just... God's Word is, he said, David said of the Lord, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I trust that it'll be available to God's people as long as they need it, because God is faithful. I hope I've stirred your mind. I hope I've touched your heart in some of these thoughts. I hope we never take the Word of God for granted. May God bless you is our prayer.